It's really nice to be back together with you guys. I missed you last week. Can I say that? Thank you as well. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support of me as I go to study and for my family this past week. It delights me to no end to be able to stand up here and tell you how much we appreciate who you are and the ways that you love and care for us and serve us. For those of you who are curious about my time in California, I think the best way I know to describe it is it was like a strenuous retreat. It was really encouraging to be in a lovely place with other pastors and ministers. We had long days gathered in really good conversation. We encountered God and one another in really powerful ways. And that was undoubtedly, there was challenge to it. It was intense. However, I did sleep through the night for the first time in several months. And that's the retreat part. So, but truth be told, I'll take interrupted sleep if it only means being back home with Kia and Ellie and you all. That's my brief update. I won't bombard you with everything that happened, but if you're interested, I'm more than happy to share with you. I want to turn our collective attention this morning toward the real stars of the show, toward honoring and celebrating the women and the mothers in our midst. Today is your day. And so I want to gather around this story of an incredible disciple of Jesus named Tabitha. I'm sorry, Dorcas is her name. No, it's Tabitha. So, well, you'll see what I mean here in a second. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right, so what's in a name? Ever thought about that? Of course, we just went through the naming process for Ellie, so my radar is like tuned in to names and their significance. For us, it was important to find a meaningful name for our daughter that held within it a truth of God that might be spoken over her for her life. Ellie, you see, means light. And just like the light of God shines in the darkness, we pray that Ellie will be someone who reflects God's light to the world around her. But here's the thing. Her name had to pull double duty. It couldn't just mean something significant. It also had to sound good, too. It had to, for the sake of our little girl's sanity, we needed to find a name that worked in both English and Dutch, that didn't change pronunciations no matter which set of grandparents was talking to her, you know? And that's more difficult than you think. And I'll tell you why. Here's your 30-second Dutch grammar lesson this morning. Thankfully, we have a couple Dutchies here, so you can attest to it. When speaking the letter G in Dutch, it's not a hard sound like ours. Ours is g, g, g. But a growl that happens in the back of the throat. It's so anytime you say in a word, say a word in Dutch that has a G in it, you first have to pause, drink a glass of water, and then resume your conversation. See, little did I know that when I first met Kia, that my name would change whenever I go to her part of the world. No longer am I Gornflo, I'm Hornflo. Yeah? So needless to say, G's are out. We're not doing G's for Ellie's name. No more than is necessary. But the Dutch also roll their R's when they speak. Arr. How many of you can roll your R's? Yeah, my mom is like, I think some of you are like that too. So names with R, we don't do that in much of our English, and so R's are out too. Long story short, when we heard the name Ellie and found out what it means and verified that it was pronounced the same in English as it is in Dutch, we were drawn to it. And this is what I mean, like we put a lot of thought into her name. So maybe it's not such a surprise then that the name, the multiple names that were given of the woman from our text this morning caught my attention. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. Here we have a woman of two worlds. Tabitha is her Aramaic name and points to her Jewish roots. Dorcas is Tabitha translated into Greek. And already we can imagine that depending on whom she's around, some will call her Tabitha and some will call her Dorcas. She has a foot in both the Jewish and the Greek worlds, which makes her a bridge between them. And this, I think, is significant because in this little detail about her Greek name, our imaginations are transported into other times in the Bible when names have changed or people who have had double names. Most prominently, I think, of Abram, the story of Abram in which God calls him out of his land, gives him a new name, Abraham, and promised that he would become a father of a nation whom they would be blessed in order to bless all the nations of earth. And now, after thousands of years since God has made that promise, it's coming true in Dorcas. She is the beginning of those other nations. See, remember the story of Acts is about the movement of God's Spirit into the wider world beyond Israel. It's the birth of the church in Gentile territory. And just like Ellie is a bridge between Dutch and American cultures, so the two cultures of the Jewish Tabitha and the Greek Dorcas come together in the name and in the life of this woman. But that's not the only thing that is significant about her name. Biblical names are famous for representing something true about the people that they're attached to. So, for example, you remember Jesus calls Simon Peter, the rock, in order to signify that this is the trajectory that his life is going to take. Jesus' own name means the Lord saves, which is pretty on point, isn't it? Yeah. And both names for this woman, Tabitha and Dorcas, they mean the same thing. They mean gazelle. And gazelles are beautiful and graceful animals. And it's as if the biblical authors want us to see that there is something graceful and beautiful about this woman as well. And we don't have to look far, do we, to see what it is. We're told explicitly, she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. I mean, how much more beautiful does a life get? But in case we miss the meaning behind her name, another title gets attached to her. And I wonder if you caught it. Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas, is also known as a disciple of Jesus. Now, that may seem fairly common and unremarkable within the biblical narrative. I mean, disciples are all over the place. But actually, it's quite profound in this particular situation because Tabitha is the only woman in the New Testament for whom that title is explicitly attached. She's the only one called a disciple of Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus had many female disciples, but Miss Gazelle here is the one who's specifically named as such. Not even Mary Magdalene, who we know follows Jesus all throughout his earthly ministry, who meets the resurrected Jesus at his tomb, not even she is explicitly named his disciple. This is interesting, yeah? We know she was one, though. But Tabitha is. And because she is, we can see how the author keeps trying to tell us that through all these different designations, that here's a woman whose beautiful life of devotion to Jesus is worth both our attention and our imitation. It's no wonder, then, that when women like Tabitha are no longer around, what's left is a noticeable gap. When Tabitha falls ill and dies, it's plain to see that her death was profoundly felt by her community. And that's no surprise, given that her life was lived in profound service to her community. Among other things, we're told that Tabitha makes clothing for the poor and the forgotten of society, the widows. This is my imagination of Tabitha here. Did you notice that the first chance that they get, these widows are showing off Tabitha's craftsmanship to Peter? Look at what she made for us. This was from her. Why do they do that? It's because this is her legacy of love that she's left. It's their way of honoring the life that she's lived. And while most any loss of life is sad for us as humans, the loss of someone like that, someone who fights to make the world a better place, whose life is given over in love, whose creativity is expressed in service to the needy, that kind of life feels somehow heavier, doesn't it, when it goes away? And Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas, a.k.a. this disciple of Jesus, exemplifies the beauty and grace and devotion of her name, all of her names, through what she does for others. And I want to pause here and reflect on that for a second, because I know this woman, don't you? Devoted to good works, a life lived charitably toward others, skilled in creativity and oriented towards love. Yeah, I definitely know this woman. Many of you are this woman, though I won't put you on the spot. It's remarkable, though, that this is not some generic, unnamed biblical character. This is a particular disciple known for her particular love to a particular community. And I think because she is explicitly named, I think it's particularly important that we notice and name the Tabithas that we know, the ones whose lives are exemplified by love and charity and service. And so I wonder, who comes to your mind? I mean, I can't help but think of Anne Lillian, right? Whose beautiful quilts I'm staring at here in the foyer, whose beautiful life still echoes throughout many of our hearts. I think of my own granny, whose enduring love for her children and grandchildren has now been passed down to her great-grandchild, in the form of this beautifully woven, colorful afghan that now wraps Ellie as she sleeps. I mean, I can look around this room and I notice all the women, all you mothers who lead lives of selfless care and compassion for your children. I see you who, when you notice a need, you go and do something about it. You're there to meet it. When you notice someone is hurting or lonely or in need of food, you're there to provide your comfort and your presence and your skill. I think Tabithas are everywhere when we have eyes to see them. And when they're not around, that's when we notice the gap. In doing this, we did this again in our class time today, naming the particular women in our lives who exemplify devotion to Jesus through their good works and acts of charity. I think this is a really worthy exercise because it reminds us that this huge, expansive, incredible story of the God who loves the world is always played out in the lives of real people. People like Tabitha, people like you. God's love is always expressed in the particular through normal lives dedicated to everyday acts of justice, creativity, and service. Because notice here that Tabitha is not a missionary to some foreign country or head of a nonprofit clothing company. No, she's a resident of her community in Joppa. And her eyes were open enough to see that a group of widows needed clothing, and she knew how to make clothing, and so she made clothing for them. Tabitha wasn't incorporated. She didn't have a 501c behind her name. Neither did she feel like she had to go somewhere, to some exotic land in order to participate in what God is doing. All she did was pay attention for where her skills and the needs of others intersected. And I like to think that we can do the same, can't we? I wonder how God has uniquely equipped us, Kenai Fellowship, to love our neighbors in this community through the skills and the giftings and the talents that we already hold within our hands. Whatever that looks like, notice too that Tabitha in this story, she never says a word. Many believed in the Lord, though, that we're told that after the community hears of Tabitha's resurrection. And that makes sense. Many often come to believe in the Lord when they witness a powerful work of God's mercy on display in ordinary lives. See, you don't need to be a biblical scholar in order to proclaim the truths of the Bible with your life. You don't need to be a silver-tongued evangelist in order to bear witness to the good news of God through your actions of generosity and kindness. In this instance, Tabitha revealed the glory of God through her presence with others and through her action toward others. So while words have their place, I reckon that more often than not, it will be through our actions that people come to know the living God. Because our actions either confirm or refute the testimony of our mouths when we say that Jesus is Lord and his Spirit lives within us. And this text also reminds us that those actions come in a diversity of expression. As far as I know, not once in all the New Testament do we hear that Peter has sewn together clothes and garments for widows. Who knows? He may have done that. But we're never told he does. And for that matter, we have no indication that Tabitha travels from place to place proclaiming the good news of Jesus and planting churches. Yet both Peter and Tabitha enjoy their appropriate place within the mission and kingdom of God. Both are called disciples. Peter, he works with words and he's committed to being a pastoral presence to the church. Tabitha is gifted with creativity, of knowledge and craftsmanship. Both are well suited for their roles. Both have been gifted by God to meet essential needs in the world. Both honor God with the gifts they've been given. And this, I think, is an important reminder to us that while we might not all play the same part in God's kingdom, we all have a part to play. The important thing is that whatever form our actions take, that they join in the mission of God to bring life where there is death and to bring love where there is need. And when we look closely, This is what we see in the extraordinary life of Tabitha, aka Dorcas, aka a disciple of Jesus. We can see the power of love over all and life over death. And that power is still active in all of Jesus' disciples today. So when God raises Dorcas from the dead, it was a profound testimony to the world around her that her life is worth imitating. That when our lives are given over to love and good deeds, that's how many will come to see and know and believe in God. So I'm not sure if you struggle in the same way that I do, but there are times in my own life when I am tempted to question whether who I am or what I do makes any difference at all for the world around me. Have you ever been there? You know that feeling? And sometimes I think, man, if only I had a larger reach or maybe more influence or a different personality or a bigger audience, then I could make a difference. But then I read about this extraordinary woman who spent her days bringing dignity to the most vulnerable of society by sewing clothes for them, by seeing a need and meeting it. I doubt that anyone outside of Joppa ever knew or heard of Tabitha. But those widows, the ones who wore her clothes, they certainly knew who she was. What's more, the living God saw her, knew her name. He knew both of them and honored the life that she lived by granting her new life. In the same way, beloved church, the living God sees us, sees our every act of love, every good deed, whether anyone else does or not. And while I'm genuinely curious, if you know what your name means, I'd love to hear. I always think that's fascinating. What does your name mean? All our names are gathered together under this title of disciple of Jesus. Disciples whose lives are marked by good works, by acts of love, by noticing our neighbors, by treating them with dignity, by showing them God's hospitality through whatever creative outlet God has given our hands to do. So let us go this week, and like the disciple Tabitha, aka Dorcas, let us be the aka, the also known as the bridge between two worlds. For we don't just inhabit the physical space of Kenai. As Jesus' disciples, we pray regularly that heaven comes to earth, that our hope of a world full of beauty and grace would be made manifest here and now. That's what's in the name disciple, and that's who we are. Pray with me. God of beauty and grace, giver of new life, Lord of love, speak to us our names so that we might take our places as your disciples, bridging the world to come with the world as it is through our good deeds and acts of love, just like your disciple, Tabitha. Thank you for making sure that we know her name. We pray this in Jesus' name and in the power of your Spirit. Amen.